Title, filter movement before drops without third-party plugins advanced. Alright, let's get into one of the fastest, most reliable ways to make a drum and bass drop hit harder, pre-drop filter movement. This is that moment where you pull the oxygen out for the last couple bars, build pressure, and then you let the full spectrum slam back in. And we're doing it with stock Ableton devices only. No third-party plugins, no fancy extras. By the end, you'll have a repeatable system you can drop onto any project. Drums, music, bass, even a tasteful master moment if you really want it. But the big theme today is control. You want tension without collapsing your low end, without murdering transients, and without forgetting the reset at the drop. First, set your routing like a pro, because this is what makes automation feel easy instead of messy. Go ahead and group your session into a few main buses: drums, bass, music, and optionally effects. The reason is simple. You'll automate movement at the group level, while keeping certain elements stable. In drum and bass, stability is power, especially the sub, and often the main snare transient. Now let's build the core chain on the music group first. This is usually where the air and harmonic identity lives, so filtering it creates instant suspense without destroying the groove. On your music group, add EQ 8 first. Turn on a high-pass filter, so a low cut. Set it somewhere around 30 to 60 Hz. Use a steep slope, 24 dB per octave at minimum, and if you want it really controlled, go 48. This isn't the cool sweep yet. This is sub protection. It prevents weird low-end pumping or accidental mud as you start moving filters around later. Next, add auto filter. This is the main movement device. Set it to a low-pass mode for the classic closing in effect. For filter type, clean is fine, OSR is smoother. Start the cutoff pretty much fully open, somewhere around 16 to 18k. Then we're going to close it down over the build. Your target depends on the vibe. You might land anywhere from 250 Hz up to 2k right before the drop. Here's an advanced coaching note. Don't pick the end cutoff as a random number. Calibrate it to the song's key and the musical identity. If you land too low, like 200 to 400 Hz, you can erase the chord or lead identity so hard that the drop feels like a different tune. In a lot of keys, landing around 700 Hz to 1.4k keeps enough tonal fingerprint while still feeling choked. You want where did the air go, not where did the song go. After auto filter, optionally add saturator. Light drive, like 1 to 4 dB, and turn soft clip on. This is a psychoacoustic trick. When you filter down, the perceived loudness can fall off. A little saturation keeps it feeling crescent without having to crank volume. Then add utility. We're going to use utility for tension through stereo control. Automate width from slightly wide, like 120%, down toward maybe 70% as you approach the drop. Don't overdo it. You're just making the mix feel like it's collapsing into a narrower tube, so the drop feels wider by contrast. Now let's automate like an advanced producer, not like someone drawing a straight line and calling it a day. Go into arrangement view. On the music group, automate auto filters frequency. A reliable 4-bar curve goes like this. From 4 bars out to about 2 bars out. Keep it subtle. Maybe 18k down to 10k. That's the air is leaving the room feeling, but it's not dramatic yet. From 2 bars out to 1 bar out, speed it up. 10k down to around 4k. Now you're starting to notice it. In the last bar, push the drama. 4k down to somewhere like 800 Hz to 2k. That's where the oxygen really disappears. And right at the end, you can do a tiny bounce if you want urgency. A quick open-close flick for an eighth note or a quarter note. It's like a panic breath right before impact. The curve shape matters as much as the cutoff numbers. You want it to feel like acceleration. Slow at first, faster at the end. In Ableton, you can shape automation curves so they feel exponential, not linear. If your version supports it, use the curve handles. If not, add extra points and shape it manually. Also, automation resolution matters. If your sweep sounds steppy and you didn't mean it, that's not analog character, that's just rough automation. Smooth it out with better curves and fewer jagged points. And if you do want stepping, do it on purpose. Draw clean plateaus on an 8th note or 16th grid so it feels rhythmic, not broken. Now resonance. This is where a lot of people hurt their mix. Resonance, it is not a vibe knob. It's a mix decision. In density NB, too much resonance will invent harshness around the 2 to 6K zone, and then you'll spend hours trying to tame a problem you created. Here's the workflow. Build the sweep first with low resonance. Then, only in the final bar, automate resonance up slightly. Something like 10% up to 20 or 35%, depending on the material. And sanity check it quietly, ideally with a limiter on the master, because resonance spikes can jump out when you're monitoring loud. Quick headroom warning while we're here. Narrowing the spectrum can increase perceived density, and resonance can create peaks even if your overall RMS feels lower. If you see peaks jumping in the last bar, a simple fix is utility gain automation down a little during the tightest moment, then restore at the drop. Cool. Now let's do drums, but carefully, because in drum and bass the drums are sacred. You want tension, but you do not want the groove to fall apart right before the drop. On the drums group, add auto filter. This time set it to high pass mode. High pass builds are classic because removing weight creates instant anticipation. Filter type can be MS2 for a bit more character or clean for safer transparency. Automate it mostly in the last two bars, not the full four. Start around 30 to 60 Hz and rise to maybe 150 to 300 Hz. If you go too high, you get that telephone break effect. That can be cool for a moment, but if you do it intentionally. Keep resonance low on drums. 5 to 15% is usually enough. Too much resonance on snares is brutal. Optional but helpful. Put glue compressor after the filter. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 2:1. You're aiming for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction during the build. The point is cohesion. When you filter drums, different layers react differently. Glue helps them feel like one instrument. If you're going for a jungle vibe, here's a great arrangement approach. Filter the break more than the punch layer. Put the break in its own group and get aggressive there, but keep the main kick and snare layer less filtered so the crowd still feels the rhythm. Now bass. This is where people accidentally make the drop smaller. Rule number one. Don't murder the sub right before the drop. If the sub disappears completely, the drop often feels less powerful, not more, because the listener loses the foundation and stops anticipating the impact. Split your bass into two tracks, sub and mid bass. On sub, usually do no pre-drop filtering. Keep it stable. Put utility on it and set width to 0% so it's mono. If you absolutely must filter, keep it extremely gentle and keep the cutoff high. Most of the time, the best move is, don't touch it. On mid bass, go ahead and do the fun stuff. Add auto filter in low pass mode and automate it aggressively. Start open at 18K and land somewhere between 200 Hz and 1K depending on how hard you want to hide the teeth. Then add saturator after it to keep the mid bass audible as it gets filtered down. Here's the key concept. The audience should still feel the sub note progression, while the mid-range character disappears and then slams back at the drop. That contrast is the whole trick. Now let's level up with a pro technique that feels bigger than just filtering. Dry and wet filter morphing. On your music group, create an audio effect rack. Make two chains. One chain is DRY, no filter at all. The other chain is filtered, with auto filter and optionally saturator. Turn on the chain selector view and set it so the selector crossfades between the chains. Then map the chain selector to macro 1 and name it something like filter blend. Now instead of sweeping cutoff as your main move, you automate that macro from 0 to 127 over 4 bars. This crossfade approach is huge because it keeps some of the original transient and tone consistency while still creating obvious spectral motion. It also stops the build from feeling like it's shrinking too much, unless you want it to. And you can combine this with cutoff automation too, but if you do, keep one of them subtle so you don't stack movements that fight each other. Next technique, rhythmic movement without an LFO. You can manually draw filter chops that match drum and bass phrasing on the filtered chain or directly on auto filter cutoff. Draw short rhythmic steps, half bar open, quarter bar close, then in the last bar do a tighter pattern like open close open on eighth notes. It mimics DJ mixing energy and adds urgency. If you want a little jungle spice, add one quick triplet moment in the last half bar, just once. If you do triplets the whole time, it stops being special, but one cheeky triplet can feel like the track is slipping out of control in the best way. Now, advanced variations you can use to avoid the same sweep every build problem. One is a dual stage sweep, kind of a handoff. Instead of only closing a low pass, you slowly raise a high pass on the music group early in the build to clean mud and increase urgency. Then you bring in the low pass close later, like starting noticeably around bar minus 2. This feels more produced than one continuous move because the tension evolves in stages. Another is the fake drop stutter. In the final bar, briefly reopen the filter for an eighth note right before the real drop, then slam it shut again. That head fake makes the real impact feel later and heavier. You can also do character ramping with stock only. Duplicate auto filter into two parallel chains inside a rack. One chain uses clean or OSR for smoothness, The other uses MS2 or SMP for byte. Crossfade between them over the build, so the filter gets more aggressive without necessarily adding distortion. And if you want that stereo collapses drama without mid-side plugins, do it with a rack. Create two chains, one called MID with utility width at 0%, and one called sides with utility width at 200%. Put your aggressive filter movement mostly on the sides chain. Keep MID more stable. The image collapses into the center as tension rises, then explodes wide again at the drop. Important coaching moment. Do contrast checks in mono. A lot of pre-drop excitement comes from stereo tricks, so temporarily, put a utility on the master and set width to 0%. If the build stops reading in mono, you're relying too much on width and not enough on real tonal and rhythmic tension. Now, let's talk about the most overlooked step, the drop impact reset. At the exact drop point, snap all filter-related automation back to open. Frequency back up. Resonance back down to a safe value. Macros back where they should be. If you forget this, the drop hits and it feels like someone left a blanket on your speakers. You can also do a tasteful utility gain move at the drop, like plus 0.5 to 1.5 dB, but be careful. If you're already pushing a limiter, this might just create distortion instead of impact. Sometimes the better play is the opposite. Pull gain down slightly in the last bar as the build tightens, then restore it at the drop so it feels like a release without clipping. And here's an arrangement upgrade that makes the reset feel musical, not technical. At the drop, consider restoring in an order. Bring back drums punch instantly. Restore music brightness over the first eighth or quarter note with a tiny ramp, and bring stereo width back slightly after the first kick and snare. That makes the drop feel like it unfolds instead of just switching states. This audio version is shortened for playback.